We are going to continue on with our tithes and offerings series. With God, all things are possible. Can you say that with me? With God, all things are possible. And we've been going on for a while now, and I was praying about what to do next, and this story came to me. Very, very familiar story to all of us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, right? But there's some things that the Lord showed me this week that I got really excited. And you know what I'm excited when I gather my family to tell them what I've found. They're all like, yeah, mom. I'm like, no, but listen, this is so awesome. So it's actually a two-parter because I realized I couldn't get it all in 1 week. Amen? Don't you love when there's so much that you can't get it all in 1 week? That's awesome, right? God is so faithful. So again, we're looking at Daniel 3, and it starts in, well, I'm just starting in verse 13, but the backstory to this is King Nebuchadnezzar decides that he's going to build an idol, and he's going to make it in his image, and he's going to have everybody bow down to it. And so he gathers all of the people. It's finished. He gathers all the people, and he blows this trumpet. He makes this amazing sound that goes forth, and everybody is supposed to fall down to the ground and worship, but they don't. There's three people that do not bow down. So just in your mind, imagine this entire gathering of people, thousands and thousands, maybe millions of people at this point, okay? And everybody goes down except three. Do you think somebody's going to notice? Absolutely, someone's going to notice, right? And that's where we're at this point, is that not only did they notice, but they tattled to the king about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so in verse 13, in rage and fury, the king gives the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, saying, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship?" Do you hear what he said? "Serve my gods," okay? "Or worship the golden image which I have set up." So he wasn't really attacking the fact that they weren't bowing down to the image. What was he attacking? The fact that they didn't worship his gods. This is important. And he says, "Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Now, listen to this. This is important. "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Doesn't that a lot of times what the world says to us when we're going through a circumstance or a situation? Or how many have ever tried to explain tithing to your family that are non-believers? And they're like, "What in the world is that? What, do you think God's just going to bless you because you give this amount of money? Really?" Right? What are they questioning? Are they questioning you? No, they're questioning who? Your God. Okay, and that's where they're at right now at this point. They are being questioned. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are being questioned about their God. And so I was thinking about this week, and you know that their names are not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three Hebrew, well, they'd be young men at this point, had been taken captive from Babylon, and they had been brought into Babylon. Now, they weren't slaves. They hadn't been punished. They hadn't been tortured, right? God took care of these three young men, and they were chosen as wise men to serve who? Guess what? King Nebuchadnezzar, okay? So there was already a relationship with the king before this point. It wasn't like they just showed up and, "Oh, these three guys." He knew who these three guys were, and that's why he said to them, "You won't serve and bow down to my gods or the image that I've created." Why? Because everybody knew who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel served. They served the one true God. So I was thinking about their names. In Jewish teaching, when you name your child, you are literally pronouncing a blessing or a path onto their lives. It was like parents were seeing forward of what they were naming their child, and they were calling this thing into existence over their life. So let's look at Shadrach. His name is Hananiah. Hananiah is two parts in the Hebrew, and it means "the Lord be gracious, The Lord show favor and the Lord have mercy on you. Whoo! Those are good parents. All right, the next one, Meshach. His name is Michel, which is who is like God? Who is like God? Not him being like God, but the idea of this awe and reverence of God that this young man was going to have over his life. And then the last one, Abednego, is Azariah. Again, two words come together, and they mean the Lord help, the Lord support, the Lord assist, and the Lord surround. Whoo. These are amazing names. But you know what? When you name a child something, it's not just for them. Amen? So when we look at this picture, King Nebuchadnezzar says, "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" He's mocking God. He has no understanding of who God is. But guess what? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are about to help him understand who God is. When we go through things in our lives, it's not always about us. The enemy is attacking us. Why? Because he's trying to get to somebody else in your life. And he's using you as an example. So what we do, the words that we speak over our future, just as these parents spoke over these boys, makes a difference. So if you're in a financial situation, don't stop and go, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to go under. It's all over. It's done." Don't do that. Don't speak those words over yourself. Speak these words. The Lord who is gracious to me. The Lord is going to show favor to me. Can you feel the difference? It's like you can feel this almost darkness to when I start saying the positive. It's like you change the atmosphere. And that's what these parents understood. They were going to change their son's atmosphere for the rest of their lives and the impact they would have on others. So we see in verse 15, that he's questioning who God is. And then we're not going to go through in detail. That's next week. That's exciting too. But he gets angry because they won't bow, and he decides to throw him into the fiery furnace. Now they're inside the fiery furnace in verse 26, and Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke. Now stop and think about this. The last people that went near the burning fiery furnace were killed. Remember that? It says the guards that threw them in were killed. But Nebuchadnezzar is like, he is impacted by this. He had three boys thrown in there, or three young men thrown in there, and now there's four. And they're all walking around. And he doesn't care. It's like he's got to get near this to figure out what is going on. And this is what it says. He said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," listen to his words, "servants of the Most High God." What happened? What happened to him? He was saying, "Who is the God that can save you from me?" To servants of the Most High God. He got a revelation of who God was because of what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He got a revelation because of their lives and what was happening to them. Guess what? There are people in your life that are watching. They're watching to see how you're going to handle things. They're watching to see what is God going to do. And when we testify of God's goodness, or we just walk around in a burning fire and we're happy because the Lord is with us, people go, "Doggone it, what is so different with them? How can they be like that? Don't they understand that we're in the middle of a recession and they're shouting praises? What is going on?" But they're going to see the difference in your life, and they're going to change their outlook on who God is because of us. Because of us. And you look at the very last, verse 29, he makes another declaration. Nebuchadnezzar says, "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces and their houses made ash heaps." We have gone completely the opposite direction. He was challenging who the God was that could save them to now he's saying, if anyone speaks anything against this God. And he ends by saying, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. This is why when you're going through something, you stand your ground. Why? Because you are someone's Hananiah. You are someone's Mishael. You are someone's Azariah. Think about their names when in meeting with the king. So Hananiah, he is bringing God's graciousness, God's favor, and God's mercy to King Nebuchadnezzar. Mishael is saying, "Who is like my God? Can you not see this?" And Azariah is saying, "God is here to help you. He's here to support you. He's here to surround you." They were the men that were bringing the message, not just about themselves, but about their God to this unsaved king. People are watching. And your situation may look like it's impossible. We're going to see next week, their situation was truly impossible, right? But with God, all things are possible. And as you go through what may look like a trial in your life, take a moment to step back and say, "God, is there something else going on here? Is there somebody watching that needs to see me not giving in to the pressure and bowing to the ways of the world or bowing to my circumstance? There's somebody that needs to see, even if everybody else bows, I'm not bowing. I'm going to stand my ground. I don't care what kind of music you play. I don't care what kind of punishment you promise. I am standing my ground, and I am going to serve the Lord until the end." Because when you do, someone is going to see, and someone is going to have their mind change from "Who is this God?" to "The God Most High, and there is none like him." Whoo! Isn't that awesome? Awesome. All right, grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for this amazing word. Words, that's what it really goes back to. It goes back to words. And it goes back to what the world tries to get us to say. But we have a choice. We can choose to say all these awful things and agree with the world of where everything's at, or we can choose to say words that belong to those that are tithers and givers, and the rights that we have as children of God to stand on the promises of God and to not give in and to not waver and to stand firm so that the world around us will take note and say, "Wait a minute, what is going on here?" They're going to be drawn to us, just like Nebuchadnezzar was drawn to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He was drawn to them, and people are going to be drawn to us, and they're going to say, "Who is this God? He must be the God Most High, because this is impossible with men." But we've seen it happen. And Father, I pray that we would be bold in our declarations. We would be bold in our testimonies, Father, of what you've done, of what you're doing, and of what you're yet to do, so that people will take note of the God we serve. I pray, Father, you would anoint every seed that is sown today. Bless the sower, a hundredfold harvest, so that we can continue to give to every good work. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Now, don't miss next week, because it's going to be the rest of the story.
Praise the Lord. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're concluding this series that started on May 4th. Entitled "Let Freedom Ring." We kind of went through the Memorial Day season. Memorial Day? Is that the one? I get them mixed up. Yeah. Memorial Day and up to 4th of July. Just talking about God's faithfulness to our nation and praying for our country. And in this particular season, we were focusing on the Liberty Bell. Somebody say, "Let freedom ring." Amen. And Leviticus 25, verse 10 has been the foundation text. And it's so wonderful that, you know, our forefathers, so many of them were very, not just, you know, sort of a Christian, right? They weren't just kind, they didn't have a little bit of faith. These were very strong believers in Jesus Christ, right? Amen. And to the point where they chose a scripture out of the book of Leviticus to put on the Liberty Bell. Amen. And the Liberty Bell, again, wasn't named the Liberty Bell at first. The folks that gave it the title of Liberty Bell were the ones that were, let me see if I can get the word right that I kept misphrasing a couple weeks ago. Abolitionists. I don't know why abolition comes to, I guess it's because it's a revolution, right? But the abolitionists took the bell on tour and showed everybody, look what it says on this bell. Why does slavery even exist anymore, right? And so those are the people, the abolitionists, that gave it the official title, the Liberty Bell. Amen? Because we have a God of great liberty. He's not a God of slavery to anything. And if you don't think slavery exists still today, it does, right? And it's whether it's people enslaved, and it has nothing to do, in some cases it has to do with nationality, but it also just, sometimes it's the same people enslaving the same people. Right? Whether it's to trafficking or there's spiritual slavery to addictive lifestyles, to drugs or alcohol or pornography or just, you know, perversions of all kinds. The devil is a slave driver. And the people that promote his agendas are also slave drivers under him as the ultimate slave driver, right? So this bell right here is a reminder. Hallelujah. It's a reminder that we have a God of great liberty, and that liberty that he birthed into this nation almost 250 years ago now is an eternal message of the liberty that we can find in only one source. And his name is Jesus. Right. Amen. So he's the one that we're preaching. We're not preaching America. We're not preaching, you know, the greatness of America, and patriotism in and of itself is fun, but you got to have some gusto behind it. And the gusto is Jesus behind it. Without faith in Jesus, I appreciate there's a lot of even conservative people out there that aren't saved, right? And praise God, I'm with them, and yet I'm not with them, you know? So it's like, we need to remember where the spirit of freedom comes from. And it's not limited to the North American continent and the United States of America. It's a message that goes out to the entire world. It's an invitation to God. And many would say, you know, even in liberal circles, that, well, the U.S. Constitution is a living document. We can make changes to it. Well, there's things that you can do, and there's a process to that. But the heart of it should be rock solid, right? It's like people can say this book right here is really the foundation of the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. That's why it's lasted for 250 years, right? That's why the devil would like to destroy it and tear it up, right? Because the principles are eternal. And there can be people even in churches, even from pulpits like this, right, that can say this right here is a living document. You can make changes to it based on the times you're in. Lie. Somebody, now, true, this is a living document. It brings life to people. But it is also a rock-solid, unchangeable document. And there are illustrations in this book of that concept. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, helps us to get these concepts. One particular, I think to me, one of the greatest illustrations is Moses, right? And he goes to the rock, and the water, it says, comes gushing out of the rock. And that's exactly a good example of this book, is that it is living water rushing out of the rock-solid Word of God. Amen. And that's a powerful thing to get. So when we're talking about something like the Liberty Bell, it's important that we recognize it as a reminder that it's a prophetic thing. We know that it's cracked from top to bottom, and the crack actually, it's a really fine crack that actually goes through the word liberty, that reminds us liberty is fragile and needs to be protected. How many know our most precious commodity in this nation, the children, need to have common sense people that love God speaking on their behalf? Not people that love money or people that love perversions or people that hate God speaking on their behalf. No, there needs to be Christian people that love God, that understand the things we're talking about, that are being a voice for children nowadays. That is the most lowest common denominator, the non-negotiable thing, number one, is children, whether it's the womb through the classroom, right? We have to be people that are a voice for children. There's no excuse for that, especially in the body of Christ. Amen, right? But the verse that's on the bell itself that was put on there by our forefathers, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That's from Leviticus 25, verse 10. So we cannot claim, like some do, that our forefathers were atheists or agnostics, that kind of thing, because an atheist, and how many know, even most people that don't go to church know the Bible verse John 3:16. So for someone to pull something out of Leviticus, that's a much deeper level of faith that we're talking about. And these people were people of deep faith, deep devotion, right down to putting their sacred fortunes and their lives on the line. And that's why it so inspires me. You know, I know Elon Musk has had issues in recent days, but the man put his fortune on the line for this country. And I may not agree with everything everybody says, but I have to respect people of that caliber with billions on the line that step out and say, this is wrong and I'm going to buy this, you know, whether it was Twitter or speak up for the president. Or now I know they've had issues in recent days. That's just human beings. That's just billionaire and billionaire. And both have, you know, a lot of common ground, but there's been some things they've been at each other about. But you know what? Who cares? Pray for them. Somebody say, pray for them. One thing I know they both agree about is the craziness of the radical left has got to go. Right? And they're willing to speak up and not care about dollars and cents. Amen. And I have to just say that to me, that's the same level of respect that I would have toward Abraham Lincoln, toward George Washington, because man, they literally put their lives and their sacred honor right on the line, right there. So hallelujah for leaders like that who still exist today. And God will use people you may not think of that He would use. I heard Jelly Roll last night was singing gospel songs in Portland. Now, he's a world-renowned, what we would call secular artist that the whole world knows about him, loves him, but he got saved. And so he added apparently a couple worship songs to the end of his concert, and he's out there. So we don't know the people that God can use, right? We just have to let God be God and praise Him and pray for these people that are out there in these mountains of arts and entertainment and media, right, and religion and government. We need to be praying for those people because, man, if the devil wants to take anybody out, it's somebody who's at the top of the mountain talking about Jesus, right? But the devil's ship is going down. We have an announcement for the devil today. His ship is sinking, and he's going down with the ship. And anybody that's on his ship that's hearing this message later, I know everybody in here loves Jesus with all your heart, right? But anybody that's hearing this message later and you're on the devil's ship, you can get out. It's not too late. Somebody say, it's not too late. If you're breathing, it's not too late. There's a way of escape, and his name is Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Praise God forevermore. And this particular, when they brought the bell out, the reason they had the bell sent over from London was it was a Jubilee reminder. It was 50 years that they were celebrating this thing called religious liberty in America, because there was such tyranny that they dealt with. How many know tyranny is not from God? This might sound like a ridiculous statement to some religious people. God is not a tyrant. And is there any higher leader in the history of the solar system, the universe? No, there's not. He has given every human being this thing called a choice. A choice. Somebody say choice. Yes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are pro-choice. Yeah, they are. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Do you want hell or do you want heaven? Do you want life or do you want death? Do you want up or do you want down? Do you want light or do you want darkness? Do you want truth or do you want a lie? Do you want eternal punishment or do you want eternal reward? He gives us a choice. A tyrant will not do that. Yeah, but if there's a hell, then that's tyranny. No, no, that's consequences to decisions. That's consequences to one decision. Amen? If that door right there in the back of the room was the only door in this building and the building was on fire, it's not tyranny to say, there's the way out. If you don't want to go, if you want to make your own way, go for it. But I'm going out the door. And the door has a name, and his name is Jesus. He is the spirit of liberty. But liberty is a choice. And it's beautiful that to know that by the Holy Spirit, the spirit of liberty is alive in Iran. The spirit of liberty is alive in North Korea. The spirit of liberty is alive in China. The spirit of liberty is alive in prison. Why? Because he is the Holy Spirit. And he exists and lives and resides in the hearts and souls of people. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. And that word in the Shemash, the word jubilee, reminds us that land and freedom are divine gifts. There are divine gifts from God. This country is a divine gift. Israel is a divine gift to the world. This country is a gift to the world to broadcast freedom and liberty and help others that are dealing with oppression and actual tyranny. The people that say Donald Trump is a tyrant, that's just ignorance. I heard a funny story about that J.D. Vance shared. You might have heard this. Lacey shared this with me, so it's kind of coming secondhand. But they were having a meeting in the Oval Office, and they were on a conference call with one of the leaders of another country, and it wasn't going well. The conversation wasn't going well. And it's J.D. Vance and the president at the desk and the phone call. And they said that Donald Trump hit mute on the call, and he said, J.D., this isn't going well. And there was a red button by the phone. There was a red button by his phone. And he pushed the red button. And J.D. Vance said, what in the world just happened? He hit the red button. And someone came in the office with a Diet Coke for the president. Now, that's Donald Trump, right? You know exactly who he is. You know his personality. I mean, the evil people don't know what to expect with him, right? But that man is a gold nugget. He is a diamond. He's a human being, yes, right? But he's not a tyrant. Far from it. Far from it. Ask Iranians what a tyrant is. Glory to God, right? And so this message we preach that, and I believe Donald Trump is a divine gift. I believe leaders that love God, Mike Johnson, J.D. Vance, Jelly Roll. When someone gets saved and begins to use their gifts in any way to serve God and reach people, they become, your pastor, you are a divine gift. Glory to God for, and this nation is a divine gift. Hallelujah, right? And that what that means is responsibility comes with it, right? Amen. And it says the Jubilee year means ownership reverts back to those whom he wills it, whom God wills it. And there is a supreme owner, and his name is God. Hallelujah. We should thank the Lord every day for the good things that he's doing in this land and this nation and leaders that he has selected to be in charge for such a time as this. We may not like certain people or their personalities or this or that, but we should thank him for the leaders that he has chosen for such a time as this and be lifting them up in prayer. Bibi Netanyahu, another one. Just be praising God that with such people are in places of office. Lane showed me a sign from a business. Praise God for the business mountain. Businesses shouldn't be hiding from politics, right? Just let it be tempered with love. But the billboard on the business said something like, let's all be thankful that today is not another day under the presidency of Kamala Harris. That's what it said, right? Do you know how close we were to that? Right? I mean, we pray for them too. We pray for those people. And we would be praying, believe me, we'd be praying. But you know what? We ought to just, every time we wake up or hear the president say something, or we thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. There's a maverick, a hoss, a John Wayne in office. Right? A commander-in-chief that the military can respect. Right? And a cabinet that is respectable. Praise his name forevermore. This is all about what this bell reminds us of. That spirit of liberty needs good people that are actually qualified to represent it. Liberty doesn't mean you can choose your gender. I still walk into some of these businesses and it's like they don't want to offend anyone, right? So they just put a sign, all gender, on the bathroom. And it's one seat in there, one. Right? Like, we don't want to offend anybody. Lock the door, go in, whoever you are. How many know two genders, right? And it's great that our president came out and said, from now on, I make a decree. Male and female. Woo! Whoever would have thought it would get to that point in this country? But it did, and it was going worse. And there's still people that are doubling down on such craziness. Somebody say, the ship is sinking. Hear the bell. Somebody say, the bell is tolling. Hear the bell. It's time to exit because the devil's ship is sinking, right? Say, let freedom ring, right? Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Hallelujah. The word ring is defined as to give forth a clear and resonant sound. How many believe that the corrupt leadership of Iran in the past couple weeks heard a clear and resonant sound? The devil is like a crazy dog. Dogs work best with short syllable words in volume. Down! No! I was doing a job once, and a home service job, and these dogs just wanted to eat me, right? And they're in a kennel. Every time I go, they're just trying to get out of the kennel to come after me. And this one day I was there, and I was going about my business. And the guy that was, it wasn't even the homeowner, just somebody living there, like an adult son or something. It irritated him that the dogs were wanting to eat me. So he opened the gate for the dogs, thinking that they would follow him into the house and stop barking. Of course they're not going to follow him in the house. They bolted at me, right? And it's probably 40 yards, and here they come, both of them charging at me. I turned around, looked at them, and I said, no! And man, they stopped and looked at me and were like, what do I do? He's not running. Right? Short command. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devil, we say no. Hands off. Glory to God. And he took those dogs in the house, and I let him know what I thought about what he just did. Don't you ever do that again, or we will never come back and service this house. Have a nice day. And I didn't cuss. Wow. But see, the devil needs those short commands because he is stupid. And he's an animal. He's a demon spirit, crazy fallen angel, out of his mind, crazy. And when his followers are doing things that he wants them to do, sometimes it's best to just say no. How many know there's people out there right now in tents on the roads and doing drugs? What they need is someone to come up to their tent and say, no, hit the road, Jack. You can't do that here, Jack. We're taking you to jail. We'll get you help if that's what you want. But I've asked some of them. One of them came up to me on the road. I could tell he was going to ask for something. And I said to him before he could say anything, I said, do you want to be free? He said, I am free. And walked off. Short commands. No, you can't do that here. How many others? People in office right here in this general area. Not protecting the public. The most basic job of anyone in government is this: protect the public. But they refuse. Right? These things ought to get our blood boiling in a righteous way. Amen. Glory to God. And we stand up for liberty for innocent people. And we speak up. Somebody say, stand up and speak up. How do we do that? By voting, by staying engaged, by following God's plan for our life, by not caving in to the devil's peer pressure that he puts on us. I'm in a business group that meets, collaborates and shares business, and it's a real world-renowned thing, but they've got new leadership lately. And they got on everybody when Trump got elected and said, do not be political, to everyone. They made a statement in a video in everyone's meetings, and don't be political. And it was like, come on. I don't remember that when Biden was president. That ever come up, right? And then just recently, they put out a thing with their with corporate's logo on it of a pride celebration they were doing. They were promoting. And I sent an email, and I got a phone call, and I thought they were going to cut me, but they didn't. They wanted to know why. What was my issue? I said, well, you just said a few months ago to not be political, and you picked a very political topic. And she's like, yeah, I guess that's true. You're right. Well, you know, we're not forcing it on people. I said, yeah, but you put the Nike swoosh on it. You put the company, the corporate logo on that, and you just told us all to not be political, ma'am. And I wasn't mean and angry and speaking in tongues and binding Satan out of, no. We're having a conversation. And she got it. Right? So don't be afraid to say something when it's, but ask the Holy Ghost first and how you should approach it. But what are they going to do? Fire me? I'd rather be fired than be the devil's henchman. And we are the devil's henchman if we don't say anything. If we just let him just continue to do what he wants to do. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. And so the same anointing that works in church will work on the business mountain, will work in medicine, will work in finance, will work in family, right? And it doesn't mean everyone's going to love and agree with everything you say. But how many know it's time to get a backbone? Somebody say, get a backbone. And be an intercessor. Be a person of prayer. I haven't even gotten to the meat of this yet, but we're getting to it now. We've talked about different things that the bell reminds us of, and the word ring, right? Common uses of bells. Calling to worship. Announcing events. We're going to focus on those things today, right? Really the word celebration, when there's a wedding. Bells ring, it's a celebration, right? Well, I got news for you. There's a wedding coming. It's called the wedding feast of the Lamb of God. And man, that is going to be a celebration like no other celebration. But you have to have an invitation to the wedding to come and be a part of it. Glory, and we have to hear that spirit of liberty ringing out, amen, and come and respond to it and remember it. Hallelujah. But I want to focus today on the bell reminding us, the bell tone, the ring of that bell, because that bell can't ring anymore. So it's a symbol, it's a remembrance, and we should hear it in the spirit ringing out on the inside of us, that spirit of liberty, right? And we should be ringing out. Let it ring out from on the inside of us. But I want to focus today on the bell reminding us that it's a call to rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. How many know there's a rapture coming? And there won't be a bell, there'll be a trumpet. But it's the same concept. There'll be a sound. And the redeemed will hear the sound. And we will go, which way are we going, church? We're going up to be with God and his family forever, right? Hallelujah. And it's a new beginning. I told my dad when he turned 80 this past week, because he's had some challenges with his health in his 70s. And he's really been healthy as a horse, right, Randy, throughout his whole life. Right? But he's had some this things going on, and I just said, Dad, I believe the number 8 symbolizes a new beginning, and it means forever, eternity. Glory to God, right? I said, I believe, Dad, that this is a new beginning for you, and you're not going to have the problems you had in your 70s anymore. Glory to God, right? Let it ring out and celebrate. Celebrate what? Look at all the problems in the world. Celebrate, well, let's get to the scriptures. Somebody say, follow the scriptures, right? 1 Corinthians, because really that's what we're talking about. The water flows from the rock, right? And I'm not talking about Dwayne Johnson, although he's a cool dude, I think. I believe he might be saved. I haven't heard him testify, but boy, there's something I like about Dwayne Johnson. I don't know. He gave somebody his truck once for just... It's this kid that needed, I can't remember the whole story, but he shows up at this guy's house that had some health problems, and here's the keys to my truck. Get better. Dwayne Johnson, right? I mean, you see Dwayne Johnson, and let's salute him, right? He seems American to me. The Rock. Well, we're talking about the rock of the Word of God here, right? 1 Corinthians 13 Verse 6, this is the love chapter, a lot of people call it, but how many know this whole book is a book of love? It's God is love, the Bible says, and everything he does is motivated by love. Agape love, the love of God. Amen? But verse 6, the word says, you can read the whole chapter on your own, but it talks about love does not rejoice in iniquity. The word, somebody say rejoice. How many know there's people out there right now, people, human beings, that rejoice in perversions or in drugs or in lawlessness is a key word. Rejoice at nobody in control, nobody telling me what to do. I've seen it on the highways, and it seems like, because I'm on the highways a lot, and in recent years it seems to me there's a lot more people that could care less about anybody else on the highway but themselves. And they'll pass by you standing still. You're doing 65 and they go by you standing still, weaving in and out of traffic. Man, when that starts happening, I don't cuss. I start praying in the spirit and I bind the devil and I say, no, you're busted. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to hurt anybody or yourself. Glory to God. Lawlessness, right? Some people rejoice at the idea of no laws. Now that is crazy, man, right? But it says love, somebody say love, because that's a big word in the world now too. You ought to just love everybody, Jesus. They'll tell Jesus just loved everybody. Jesus does love everybody, but he doesn't love what everybody does, right? I can love everybody without loving their philosophy. Loving doesn't mean I accept everything. No, we love God first. Somebody say, love God first. And get to know him. Read the book. Somebody say, read the book. You'll get to know him. Because he hasn't changed. right? In verse 6, it says that love, in the Amplified Version, it says it does not rejoice at injustice. And we're emphasizing judges at this moment. How many know judges should be about justice? Not bribes, not special interest groups, not, you know, promoting their agendas from the bench. That's evil stuff, right? Love does not, and how many know who the ultimate judge is? Capital J. Every judge should remember this. It's God. So they really represent God on the bench. Right? Love does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. If you read this book, you'll see that there's coming a day. I don't know if we'll get to that. You may have to read those on your own. We'll see, because I know it's 4th of July and there's barbecues and all that. But listen to this, right? There's people out there that don't rejoice at the truth, that would rather have corruption, that would rather have wickedness, that would rather have sin, that would rather have things that bring death, that rejoice at an abortion clinics prospering. I mean, that's not sort of a gray area. That's diametrically opposed to everything and who and the person that God is, right? That's directly in line with the priorities of the devil. Amen? But if you read this book, you'll find out, let me just stick to it. Let me stick to the trail. Stay with the trail, right? Look at Psalm 89, verse 14. It's right there in your notes, right? First of all, just say this out loud. I rejoice with the truth when right and truth prevail. Boy, when President Trump, when his head turned a fraction of a millimeter, and he stood up, fight! Oh my gosh, that was an awakening moment for our country. A wake-up call. Wow, that was the Liberty Bell ringing out from Pennsylvania, right? The same spirit, right? And there were people that mourned when that happened. Oh, they missed him. There was people on social media saying, the idiot missed him. How can you believe such idiocy? Even if it's someone I don't like, most people would never say such a stupid thing, right? But we, as believers in Jesus, because he's in us, we rejoice with the truth when right and truth prevail. Glory to God. Psalm 89, 14 says this, righteousness and justice, listen to this, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So don't act like God is in this when something crazy is going on. Some evil thing is happening, to act like it's God's will or God's plan or God's okay with it. God made you that way. You can choose one of however many genders because God made you that way. That's a lie. Why? Because it says right here, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Hallelujah. Mercy and truth go before your face. Now think about that. Mercy, his loving kindness, his desire to forgive. And yet, he's the judge. There was one, I got a great softball memory. Lacey was playing softball, and she was young back, she's young now too, but she was probably 10 back then. And I was helping the team out, and they needed an umpire. An umpire's like a judge. And I was behind the plate calling balls and strikes. And she was batting. And strike two, right? The ball comes down the middle. I thought, as the judge, came right down the middle. She didn't swing the bat. So I said, strike three, you are out. Called my own daughter out. Oh, her coach went ballistic on me. What? How could you do that? Because it was a strike. And she didn't swing the bat. That's called justice. That's why one of the things I love about baseball is it's just pure, there's baseball justice. I mean, if you hit a grounder to the shortstop, you are out, man. I don't care how fast you are, you're out. You should be. And even though I love my daughter, love her, love her, love her, love her, she's out! Oh, but there came a time when she parked one over the fence in high school. And without, I mean, all my kids playing sports and all that. But you know what I'm saying? God is the judge. He loves us, but he's also going to call us out if he has to. Amen? Hallelujah. Righteousness and justice. Deuteronomy 16:19 says this, "You shall not pervert justice." All these judges that are, not all of them, there's a lot of good judges, but there's many judges who are fighting, they're using this thing they're calling lawfare to work against national security in our own country, right? Calling out the commander-in-chief who's trying to get our country back to this thing called law and order, and those people that are supposed to represent law and order are fighting him on it. Craziness, absolute insanity. Right? Somebody say, no, it's not right. You shall not pervert justice. See, that's why a lot of these people despise the Bible. Why? Because this is the foundation of law and order. It is. It explains clearly what good and evil is, what right and wrong is, what truth and lie is. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. We have to keep our judges in prayer, even the ones that seem to be doing right. The Supreme Court justices, we have to continue to pray for them that they don't cave. There's been justices that have had threats against their families, right? That God would help them to be strong. Hallelujah. And to do what they know they need to do. Praise Jesus. And to have a sense that they're really working on God's behalf. That to have that trust level in God. Amen. Isaiah 56:1 says, "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed." Somebody say, he's coming. Why should I do what's right today? Because he's coming. Because dad's coming home. And I don't want to be called out. I want to hear, safe, well done, good and faithful servant. All the more for a judge, but this comes right down to brass tacks with you and me, with anybody. Glory to God forevermore. He's coming. Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come. Jesus is coming soon. And his righteousness will be revealed. And we're seeing his righteousness revealed. He is acting through his people. Even now. Glory to God. Look at Revelation chapter 19. I just want to... The end is coming to all these things. And this is a look at it. And these are things to rejoice about. These are causes to rejoice because evil is coming to an end. How many know what death does? Death is going to die. It's just going to cave in on itself and die. And it says this in Revelation 19. After these things, I heard. Somebody say, I heard. We need to hear the sound of the bell ringing out from on the inside of us, the spirit of liberty, right? That's what John is talking about. I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. Oh, is there a great multitude in heaven? Our families, our loved ones, our heroes of old, right? And us, we're going to be in that crowd, right? Amen. Saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, verse 3, they said, hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever, right? I mean, what we're seeing right now is like the ultimate good versus evil movie. That's why we like good versus evil movies. Star Wars and Westerns, where the bad guys are trying to run the town. And in comes one of my favorites is Silverado, like 1987. There's like four good guys. And the one bad guy is the sheriff of the town, and he's got all his henchmen, and they're trying to take over the town and be tyrants in this town. And boy, it comes down to a head, and the good guys win. There's even a shot where Peyton, my favorite guy probably, is standing there, and the sheriff, they show the sheriff, and the shot behind him is wilderness, like the desert behind the bad guy. And they show Peyton, and behind him is the church. The devil's days are numbered. He should think like Captain Hook when he hears a clock ticking. Tick tock, devil. Tick tock. It should drive him crazy hearing a clock tick. Because he is going down. And these are causes for us to rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore, right? And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God. It's a time to worship God. Worship God. Don't wait till then. Somebody say, be a worshiper now. Be a rejoicer now. Even when things look bad and sound bad, just get up and say, hallelujah. Let that bell just ring out and you just rejoice in that spirit of liberty. Hallelujah. Then it says, verse 5, a voice. Somebody say, a voice. Came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him. And I heard, and man, what a spirit of praise that's moving on this next generation right now. The praise and worship that's coming from these kids is just a spirit of God moving on their generation. Hallelujah, right? And we all just need to flow right with it. Amen? And I heard, as it were, the voice. Somebody say, the voice. Of a great multitude as the sound of many waters, and it's saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. It's a reminder, this bell is a reminder of who reigns ultimately. Somebody say it's God, right? No question about it, right? Let us be glad and rejoice, verse 7, and give him glory for the marriage. See, it's a marriage supper we're talking about here. The marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. The church, right? The family of God coming together. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You can read, I would encourage you to read 19 and 20 and keep going there. But blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Somebody say, I'll be there. I got my invitation. I said yes. How many know there's been invitations sent to every person on the planet, but they don't, many of them, reject it? And then when it happens, they're going to be like, let me in. Sorry, too late. You made your choice. That bell ring should remind us to rejoice. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb coming. When the rapture happens and the church goes up to be with God, the 7-year tribulation period here on the planet, right? And the devil gets kicked into the lake of fire, all these kind of things happening, right? We rejoice over this. We rejoice over the victory of God and the justice of the Lord. We don't rejoice because our enemies are, you know, rising in smoke. We rejoice because God reigns. His truth is prevailing. He is judging the evil that's in the world. Right? I believe this is one reason why the devil hates children so much. Have you noticed he hates children? I believe he hates children because he doesn't own them. If the rapture happened right now, every child on the planet goes. Just think about that. Glory to God. Right? But Luke chapter 10, as we close with this, reminds us of the main reason why we should be rejoicing. Not because the devil's getting kicked in the backside, not because demon spirits are going to hell and evil things are getting judged, but we rejoice according to Luke chapter 10, verse 20, and you read that chapter 2, where Jesus sends out his disciples, and they go out, and they're binding devils and laying hands on the sick, and they come back to Jesus like, whoa, the devils all submit to us. And Jesus answers this way. He says, don't rejoice in that. He said, don't rejoice that evil spirits and dogs submit to you. Right? But rather rejoice because your name, somebody say my name, is written in heaven. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Is your name in the book? There's a book of life in heaven, and everyone who's born again, our names are in the book. Hallelujah. And that is what this bell reminds me of today. It should ring out. Make sure your name is in the book and then rejoice about it. And share it and ring out so other people can hear and respond to that ring and come running to Jesus. To some people, it'll sound like they'll hold their ears. Remember when Stephen, the story in Acts where Stephen got stoned and he was telling them. And what do? I don't want to hear it. And they covered their ears and thought they were solving the problem by killing a man of God. Well, no, they weren't. They weren't stopping the gospel. But they couldn't take the truth. That's why we pray and we keep ringing out. But remember, 1 Corinthians 13, we do it in, somebody say, love. Without love, we are just a clanging bell. And we shouldn't just be ringing in people's faces to be annoying to them. You know what, one thing I think that really annoys people who don't love God? When they hear Steve preaching at them, but yet they see Steve with a beer in his hand. You didn't get saved! Oh, really? How come you're still chasing women around then, Steve? And telling us this. I'm not saying I'm doing that. I'm just using me as an example. You understand what I'm saying, right? That's annoying to people. You're telling me about Jesus, but yet you're cussing a blue streak, Steve? You're telling me about Jesus, and yet you got the same terrible problems in your life and worse than I got? That's annoying to people. But when you got a testimony, you know what, man? I used to be a carouser. I'd chase women. I was drinking. I was getting high. I was gossiping about people. But Jesus, somebody say, but Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. And he changed me. And no, I'm not perfect, but he is. And I love him. And I just want you to know that he's reaching out to you today. Glory to God. Let's all stand up and we'll pray and just rejoice. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody listening to this message later and you're like, Pastor Steve, I don't know if my name is written in that book. I want to get that done now so I can rejoice. And there's a scripture also that says even when one person gives their life to Jesus, the angels in heaven, what do? They rejoice when that happens. So just pray this out loud. Just say, Father God, I give you my life. I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I receive forgiveness of every sin. I repent of every sin. I commit my life to serve you, to love you, to follow you, to obey you, to read your word, to be in church, to walk in love to you, God, in Jesus' name. Now just thank you, just rejoice. Lord, we rejoice, we praise you, and we thank you that our names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just say what they said in Revelation. Just say, hallelujah. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.